السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى أيضا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. I commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Him, the Almighty, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to send and shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the topic for my sermon this afternoon is maintaining the momentum after Ramadan. Maintaining the momentum after Ramadan. You and I, we have struggled hard to strive during this blessed month to get close to our Maker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We woke up early in the morning. We prayed tahajjud, we have fasted during the day, we have read a lot of Quran, we have prayed Salatul Taraweeh, we have prayed Witr every single night, we have read a lot of the Quran, we have studied about the Quran, we have given out sadaqah, given out charity. So there is this growth that we see during the month of Ramadan. So it's important that we maintain the growth, the spiritual growth. That's when it is considered organic. That's when it is considered healthy. Because if not, it would result in it just being a spike and then a drop. May Allah save us all. So I'm sure you might have heard from your scholars in regards to the blessings of this month, in regards to the purpose. At the very beginning, the scholars would have spoken. The purpose behind fasting. Why are you fasting? Are you fasting just to stay away from food? Is it just merely a diet? Or is there a greater objective, a greater purpose behind fasting? Even if maybe you didn't hear it this Ramadan, you might have heard it in the previous Ramadan, where there might have been people of knowledge who would have told you about the greater objective, the greater purpose behind fasting. I'd swiftly like to remind ourselves with a statement of Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah. He talks about three types of fasting. Three types of fasting. And this should serve as a reminder, firstly for myself and then all of you all. He says that you have, number one, Sawmul Umum, the fasting of the general public, if you will, the laity, the general people, the Sawmul Umum. I'll explain in detail. And then we have Sawmul Khusus, the fasting of the elite. Now when we say elite, we mean they're closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the distinguishing factor, because at the end of the day, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your power is not taken into consideration, your wealth is not taken into consideration, the color of your skin is not taken into consideration, your beauty and the fact that you're handsome is not taken into consideration, your height is not taken into consideration. The only thing that is taken into consideration in the eyes of Allah is taqwa, is your closeness with Allah Azza wa Jal. Your place in society, nothing matters to Allah Azza wa Jal, apart from your heart, the state of your heart. So, we have Sawmul Umum. I hope this stays with you. Sawmul Umum, the fasting of the general public, if you will, the laity, the ones who are making their way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you have Sawm al-Khusus, the fasting of the elite. And subhanallah, you have Sawm Khusus al-Khusus, the fasting of the elite of the elite. These are awliyaullah. May Allah make us from His awliya. Ameen. They are the ones very close to Allah Azza wa Jal. So what are these three categories? The first category, Sawm al-Umum, is a type of fasting where the individual who is fasting only stays away from food and drink and stays away from indulging in his or her sexual desires. This is Sawm al-Umum. Now I want you all to introspect. Place your hands upon your hearts and try to gauge what type of fasting have I indulged in. Because it's still not too late. We have a few more days. This month has, you know, sped past us. Subhanallah. It is from the signs of the day of Qiyamah that time will fly. And is time not flying? Time is flying. Here we are now. We have the 27th night perhaps in a day or maybe Saturday evening. And then with that we are moving towards Eid. Allahu Akbar. It's almost as if we just started the month of Ramadan a few days ago. It's almost as if last year's Ramadan, we're still, you know, it's like just a month or two before us. So Sawm al-Umum, the fasting where a person stays only away from, stays away from food and drink, stays away from indulging in his or her sexual desires, and that's it. Sawm al-Khusus, the fasting of the elite. They stay away from food and drink. They stay away from indulging in sexual desires. And they also protect their tongues from uttering or articulating things that do not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can be obscene language. It can be filth. It can be gossip. It can be backbiting. It can be anything. It can be falsehood. It can be anything that displeases Allah. They stay away from it. They are those who protect their eyes. They don't let their eyes wander. They don't let their eyes wander. They don't let their eyes indulge in things that are displeasing or that have been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are those who protect their ears from indulging in things that Allah has prohibited. They are those who protect their hands from committing sins. They are those who protect their feet from walking towards sin. They are those who basically protect their limbs from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a type of fasting. And this is something that we train ourselves during the month of Ramadan. And then we have Sawm al-Khusus al-Khusus, the fasting of the elite of the elite. The fasting of the elite of the elite. Now they are those who stay away from food. They are those who stay away from drink. They are those who stay away from indulging in sexual desires during the day. They are those who protect their limbs from sins. And they are also those who focus on their hearts. Now this is what is important. They are those who focus on their hearts. They constantly keep working on their hearts. They constantly keep working on the purification of their hearts. The purity of your heart. They don't let stray thoughts, even thoughts that displease Allah, cross their hearts. Subhanallah. What a sense of discipline. One is to protect your limbs from indulging in sin. And then the other, and that's why they are a rank higher, above. They are known as the elite of the elite, because they protect their hearts from thinking bad about others. They protect their hearts from bad thoughts, from toxic thoughts, from negative thoughts about the creation, about the Creator. They only think good. Now, I want you all to kind of relate to this. Think of this individual, an individual who's striving to protect his heart, who's striving to purify his heart, to only think of good thoughts. An individual who's striving to protect his limbs. An individual who's staying away from food and drink and from indulging in sexual desires. Think of what kind of an individual this individual would become. And this is the purpose of the month of Ramadan. To work on taqwa. And what is the seat of taqwa? Other than your heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith, he's reported to have said, "At-taqwa hahuna wa ashara ila sadrihi thalathan." His reporter pointed towards his chest and said, "At-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna." Your taqwa is over here. Your taqwa is over here. Your taqwa is over here. Your taqwa is basically seated in your heart. And this is why it's important. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudgha idha saluhat saluha al jasadu kullu." Know that indeed there is a piece of flesh in your body. If this piece of flesh, idha saluhat, is upright, is good, is straightforward, then saluha al jasadu kullu, then the entire body of that individual will be upright, will be good. Goodness will start radiating from that individual. You see, certain individuals, when you sit with them, when you talk to them, you feel these vibrations, these positive vibes. Now, that was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People would come and just sit by the Prophet and they would be impacted by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are some individuals, you go sit by them, you're filled with gloom and despair, sadness, toxicity, negativity, because the individual is full of that. May Allah save us. And that same piece of flesh, إِذَا فَسَدَتْ, if it goes bad, if it becomes corrupt, if it becomes rotten, فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, then the entire body becomes rotten. The entire body goes bad. Now what is this piece of flesh? أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. Know that it is the heart. It is the heart. Now you might be thinking, is it the piece of flesh pumping blood? Is it that heart that you're talking about? So does that mean I need to protect my heart from cardiovascular diseases? I need to walk every day, I need to run, I need to go to the gym, I need to stay away from fatty foods? Is that what the hadith is teaching us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about the spiritual heart. The spiritual heart. And this is why scholars of the past reported to have said, إِذَا أَشْرَقَ الْقَلْبِ بِنُورِ الطَّاعَةِ. Beautiful words. Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah, if I'm not mistaken, in his book Al-Fawaid, he says, if the heart of an individual is set ablaze, look at the words, if the heart of an individual is set ablaze, with what? Binuri ta'ah, with the light of obedience. If you set ablaze your heart with the light, the powerful light of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know what happens? أَقُبَلَتْ, all forms, سَحَيْبُ الْخَيْرَاتِ and barakat, all forms of goodness and prosperity start rushing towards the heart of that individual. You know, almost like a very powerful magnet. It starts to attract all forms of goodness, prosperity, barakah and positivity. It starts to pull the goodness towards itself. And then what happens? The sahib of this heart, the owner of this heart, that is you, oh my dear brother, my dear sister, you will start moving min ta'atin ila ta'atin. You will start moving from goodness to goodness. We say you move from strength to strength. Here you will start moving from good deed to good deed. And this is, bear these words in mind, this is the sign of Allah accepting a deed from you. If you want to know as to whether your Ramadan, this Ramadan that you strove so hard, you woke up every single day, you were in salah, you were reading the Quran, you gave out so much of sadaqah. If you want to know as to whether it has been accepted by Allah, then gauge yourself after Ramadan. If you are moving from goodness to goodness, if you're moving from good deed to good deed, then know that your Ramadan has been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, إِذَا أَظْلَمَ الْقَلْبِ, if the heart of an individual is plunged into darkness, what type of darkness? The darkness of disobedience, the darkness of sin. Why do we call it darkness? Because we have another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ tells us, he informs us, that when an individual commits a sin, when an individual perpetrates a sin, what happens? نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَى, a black dot forms on the heart of that individual. A black dot. Ran, as Allah says in the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. It's like a form of rust. It forms on the heart of that individual. If that individual immediately tab, Naza' wastaghfar. If he immediately makes tawbah, if he immediately removes himself from that sin, if he immediately seeks the forgiveness of Allah, then he is able to polish the heart like a mirror. You see, you have a mirror. If you polish it, it starts to shine and gleam and you're able to see your reflection beautifully, a piece of glass. On the other hand, if he does not make tawbah, if he disregards the sin and goes on to perpetrate sin after sin, if he goes on to commit disobedience after disobedience, then black dot after black dot will start forming on the heart of this individual until his heart becomes a black, dark and overturned vessel. Allahu Akbar. It's not going to shine like a mirror. It's not going to shine like a piece of glass. But rather it's going to become a dark, rusty, overturned vessel that is of no purpose. An overturned vessel, you can't pour milk into it. So how are you going to pour the pure milk of the Quran? And this is why such individuals find it difficult to read the Quran. They find it difficult to weep. When they make dua, they cannot cry. And they come complaining, "Oh Mufti, oh Sheikh, why is my heart so hard? Why can't I cry? Why are my eyes not weeping? Why am I not crying in front of Allah? Why is it so difficult for me to weep?" You see, the tears, when you weep in front of Allah, in dua, when reading the Quran, when the imam is reading the Quran in salah, those tears are the tears that will water your heart and your life for good and beautiful things to grow. We need those tears. But if your heart has become dark and overturned, then it's difficult for you to cry. You need to turn to Allah. Gauge your hearts. Ask yourself, when you're reading the Quran, do you feel goosebumps traveling across your skin? Do you feel shudders running down your spine when the imam becomes emotional in salah? Or when you come across an ayah where the punishment of Allah is being described, the anger of Allah is being described, or Jahannam is being described, do you become emotional when the mercy of Allah is spoken about? Do you feel these emotions coursing through you? Or have you become hard as a rock? You can ask yourself, you can gauge. And if you feel that you have hardened, if you feel that your heart has become icy cold, then you need to work on your heart. You need to turn to Allah. And this is the best opportunity to do so. But make sure that you maintain the momentum. And that's the whole point of the topic for this sermon. Maintain the momentum after Ramadan. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, was once asked by his students, if I'm not mistaken, "Sheikh, what do you have to say about those individuals who strive hard during the month of Ramadan? During the month of Ramadan, you see them in the masjid. During the month of Ramadan, you see them with the Quran. During the month of Ramadan, you see them giving out sadaqah. During the month of Ramadan, you see them behaving in a very good way. Outside of Ramadan, every other word is filth. Outside of Ramadan, he indulges in sins. Outside of Ramadan, he indulges in his addictions. But during Ramadan, he controls himself. During Ramadan, he does not indulge in his addictions. During Ramadan, he does not indulge in smoking. During Ramadan, he does not indulge in his pornography addiction. During Ramadan, he stays away from the opposite gender. During Ramadan, but outside of Ramadan, he goes back to his old ways. What do you have to say about such an individual?" Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, he says, "A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. I seek the refuge in Allah. These individuals, such individuals whom ubadu Ramadan. They are the slaves of Ramadan and they are not ubadu Rabbi Ramadan. They are not the slaves of the Rabb of Ramadan. They are not the slaves of Allah, but rather they are the slaves of Ramadan. They are only being good for Ramadan, not for Allah. And that's why when Ramadan goes past and you're in Shawwal or Sha'ban or any other month, you're not like how you used to be during the month of Ramadan." Allahu Akbar. Do you not relate? There's another lesson as well. During Ramadan, we know through the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the devils are shackled. The devils are all locked up. Now in another few days, our enemy is going to come out and start rampaging all over again. He's going to get on with his mission. His mission of misleading us and pushing us into the blazing fire of Jahannam. Now during Ramadan, they're all locked up. All of the shayateen, suffidat shayateen. All the shayateen are locked up, shackled. The doors of Jannah are opened, the doors of Jahannam are slammed shut. We know the hadith, authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the whole point of me mentioning this hadith is that during Ramadan, if you, because we have brothers and sisters who come to us and say, Mufti, Sheikh, you tell us that during Ramadan, shaitan is locked up. But still then why during Ramadan do I feel these evil inclinations? If shaitan is locked up, why do I feel inclined towards sin? Why do I feel like doing this? Why do I feel like doing that? Perhaps shaitan is not locked up. Maybe he broke out of prison break. Do you know what the understanding there is? There's no doubt, shaitan is locked up. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And shaitan cannot, it's not some man-made prison. This is Allah locking up shaitan, so he cannot break free. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, he does not speak out of his own desires. You and I, we speak out of our own desires. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ, what he speaks is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan is definitely locked up. Then why do we feel these inclinations? It's because of the evil within us. Outside of Ramadan, you can blame shaitan. Oh, you know what? Don't blame me. It was shaitan that pushed me to do this. But during Ramadan, you can't play the blame game. You need to blame your own self. If you're feeling inclined towards sin, it's because of the evil within you. It's because of the weakness inside you. So you need to now realize, and that's why this is a boot camp, the month of Ramadan, to be able to gauge so many things. If you feel it's because of the evil of your own souls, the evil of your nafs. And this is why, my dear brothers and sisters, it's important that we work on our souls. You see, the nafs. The nafs is a tricky thing. The nafs can either be an ally, a companion who will help you, or the nafs can be a companion who will help shaitan against you. You see, shaitan, try to understand this example, your heart is like a house where you have kept all of your valuables inside. Shaitan is the thief who is outside. Shaitan is the thief who is outside. So he keeps on trying to break into your house to steal your possessions. If you protect your house, then he won't be able to infiltrate. But you know something? You have a thief inside your heart. And that's the thief that you have to be careful of. And that is your nafs. Your nafs. Your nafs is inside the house. And this is why in Surah Yusuf, Allah says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. This is a type of nafs. You see, you have different types of nafs. This is one particular type. The nafs that is أَمَّارَ بِالسُّوءِ. The nafs that is ever inclined towards evil. This is a very dangerous type of nafs. It is constantly pushing you towards evil. Whenever you want to do something good, your nafs pushes you. You know, you have different translations for nafs. Your ego, your lower self, your base self. It keeps pushing you towards evil. And this is why you need to discipline your nafs. You need to discipline your nafs. Don't give in to your desires. Discipline your nafs. The more you work on your nafs from Amara Bisu, it moves to the next category, which is known as Lawwama. Allah says in the Quran, La uqsimu bin nafsin lawwama. The nafs that is known as a reproaching nafs, a nafs that keeps on blaming. So this is okay, somewhat okay. This is a nafs, when you do bad, it will blame you. You know, you have that prick of your conscience that tells you you're doing something wrong. This is your nafs blaming you. And then when you do good, your nafs blames you, oh, you should have done more. When you give out sadaqah, you gave out perhaps $100. This type of a nafs will tell you, oh, you should have given out $200. You should have given out $300. Give more, pray more, read more Quran. And then you move to the next category known as mulhama. Allah says in Surah Al-Shams, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا. This is the inspired nafs. A nafs that is inspired by Allah towards doing good and staying away from evil. This is also a strong type of a nafs. But you need to move from that category quickly to the next one. It is known as what? Nafs. مُطْمَئِنَّ. Allah says in Surah Al-Fajr, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ. The tranquil soul. Now you're getting closer to Allah. The soul is tranquil now. Now it's not disturbed. It's not, you know, one foot here and the other foot there. No. Now it's making its way towards Allah. From mutma'inna, it moves to radiya. Allah says in the Quran, irji'i ila rabbiki radiya. This is a pleased soul. As in, the soul is pleased with Allah. Raditu billahi rabban wa bil islami deena wa bi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam nabiyya. This is a nafs that is pleased with Allah, pleased with Islam as the deen, pleased with the Quran, and pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you have the highest, known as mardiyah. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. Mardiyah is a nafs that is, it is a nafs that has attained the pleasure of Allah. Like who? The Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. They were pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with them. Allahu Akbar. That is a high status. Now you need to ask yourself, where am I in this ranking, in this order? Am I at Ammara Bissu? Am I at Lawama? Am I at Mulhama? Am I at Mutuma'inna? Where I don't feel any evil inclinations? Am I at Radi? Or I do feel, as human beings you will feel, but I'm able to fight them away. I'm strong enough to fight the evil inclinations. Because if you were not to feel evil inclinations, you would be an angel. You would be an angel. Am I at Mutma'inna? Am I at Radiya? Or am I at Mardiya? So it's a constant work in progress. We need to constantly work on our spirituality. I've come to the end of my time. So with this I conclude, my dear brothers and sisters. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us. He blesses us to complete this month of Ramadan in a beautiful way. May Allah azza wa jal bless us all to attain many more Ramadan in the future. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let peace prevail across the globe. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect Islam. May Allah protect the Muslims at large. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect this country, protect the Muslims of this country. And may Allah Azza wa Jal help us to purify our hearts. Help us to purge all negative and toxic elements from our hearts. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us to fill our hearts with goodness, with love and care towards one another. Where we care for ourselves, we care for our brothers and sisters, our brethren from other faiths, from Christianity and other religions, because at the end of the day, we are all sons of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. There's this sense of humanity that needs to creep into our hearts. And likewise, may Allah Azza wa Jal, just as how He unites us here in this masjid, Moody Masjid, may He unite us in the beautiful gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may He bless us all to drink from the haud, from the fountain, via the blessed hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'waya, anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen, jazakumullahu khairan.